Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Sunny and 70, you really can't beat this weather. Forget about summer. This week is we're looking at much better stuff here with these cool nights and nice, warm, sunny days. Welcome to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. On today's show, it may not be very long before the domestic partners of public employees will no longer be eligible for health insurance benefits. We'll find out what Michigan's public colleges and universities think about that. And small businesses want state lawmakers to reform the worker compensation law and that the current system encourages phony claims, phony lawsuits, and artificially high insurance rates. That's what they're saying. We'll find out exactly how. But first, over 11,000 Michigan families that had been facing the end of welfare benefits this past weekend continue getting those payments after a U.S. district judge yesterday ruled that the state failed to provide proper notice of the benefits being cut. To talk about the ruling and what the state plans to do next, I'm joined by Maura Corrigan, the director of the Department of Human Services. Thank you very much for joining me.
Good evening, and I'm glad to be here, Mike.
Now, let me ask you, what's your understanding of how the notifications your department sent out were not providing proper notice?
Well, the problem that the judge identified in his ruling, with which we agreed, is that we did not cite a statute in the notice that we sent to our clients. We sent a total of three, and one of the notices was the notice that we give people based on the Bridges computer printout of this, and that cited a manual which wasn't available until Saturday. I believe if we had cited the state or the federal statute, that was the problem. And we have corrected today with a team of lawyers, and we have sat and worked through a new notice that complies in every regard with Judge Borman's ruling.
Mm-hmm.
We are prepared to go forward.
I had the head of the Center for Civil Justice on the program. That's the group that filed this suit. She said that her group did contact officials at DHS asking for clarification on the notices and that none were really given. Were you anticipating that this lawsuit would be filed?
Well, I suppose that's the way we do business in the United States of America, so it was realistic that a lawsuit would be filed. I received a request the evening before the lawsuit was filed for concurrence, and we were preparing an answer to a FOIA request when we received notice of the lawsuit. So, yes, I guess you could say we would anticipate it.
So how much longer will benefits now remain in place, and how quickly will these new notices be sent out?
We're hoping to send the notices out within the next couple of days, and then the individuals affected will get a 10-day appeal period. And so we hope to accomplish this very shortly.
Now, this appeals process, that could change everything, right? Because ultimately, if someone appeals this cut, can't it take quite a while for that to be ruled on?
Well, we've started a concept we call the rocket docket here with the administrative law judges. So we anticipate very quick disposition of the appeals when and if they're filed by folks. Remember, 11,000 people received these several notices, and we had but around 300 actually file appeals. So my anticipation is there won't be that many people contesting the notices. They get a right to appeal the calculation of the months that they were on, and not actually the changes in the law. So, you know, we may have some appeals. Part of the problem is that people get a continuation of benefits until the appeal is resolved. And many of these, I've noticed since I got here, people will want to continue their benefits until they can get a ruling, but they frequently dismiss the appeal right before the hearing because they know they haven't got a leg to stand on.
Let me ask you, in general, do you feel that the welfare system here in Michigan is being abused?
I believe that the welfare system in the United States of America has wrongly robbed our country of many productive citizens who could be productive, and that we need to change. what has occurred in our country, and I completely support our legislature's imposition of four-year limits. This was bipartisan, initiated by Governor Granholm's administration in 2007. Similarly, the federal welfare-to-work law was passed in 1996, initiated by Bill Clinton. These are bipartisan initiatives recognizing that welfare is an addiction for people, and we need people to be free and to fulfill their greatest potential.
No kidding. And, so you actually, I mean, your view on the welfare system ultimately is that after several years, a person can get to a point where looking for a job just becomes something they're not going to seriously consider.
Right. And may I say, it is wrong for this to continue in our society. We have so many people who are victimized by this, in the sense they're not educated, they are unable to hold down a job because they can't read. It was interesting in this process to attempt to create notices and to do outreach, because our considerations were, how do we reach people who cannot read, who cannot understand a legal notice? And that was what we were attempting to do, and we crafted an outreach program that's unprecedented in the history of DHS. Not only did we issue notices, we issued three, we did a call center so that people could call us and ask us, because we knew many people could not read. It's wrong to have a 47% illiteracy rate in the city of Detroit. We must change this.
I'm talking to Maura Corrigan, the director of the Department of Human Services. Now, in fact, Detroit, half of those being cut are within Detroit. And I have to ask you, when you're talking about people that can't read the notices, how in the world are they going to get out there and now get a job?
Part of this is our Job Navigator plan, and that's a wonderful and exciting part of what we're doing. There's a myth that there's no jobs out there, and people want to become depressed by the statistics. But we have an alliance with the Michigan Works Agency, and we will help every single person who is being terminated from this program to get a job and to get an education, and we have a Job Navigator program so people can get a one-on-one coach who will help them to do this.
I want to ask you about the food stamp program asset test, which has also drawn criticism, some point to individuals who are recently unemployed. In cases like that, is it right to ask someone to drain their assets before allowing them to get food assistance?
Well, this test we borrowed from the state of Texas. And we're not saying drain all your assets. It is a very considered test. And we're not concerned, Mike, about individuals who are recently unemployed. That was not the reason for imposing the asset test. The concern we had was from hearing from our line workers about the gamers who are out there, and that's a small percentage of the people who are getting food assistance, but we're trying to figure out a way to reserve the assets for the truly needy. And the asset test itself, you have $5,000 in liquid assets, you keep your home, your secondary home, you know, your vacation home, no, you can't. You can keep your retirement accounts, any 401ks, 457, tuition, education accounts, and $5,000 in liquid assets. This food assistance program has grown by 40% over the last few years in the United States, and it's part of the reason it's unsustainable for the country is that all over the country, asset tests have been waived.
I've got about a minute left. This is my last question. When people look at these cuts that are being made at the time when we have an at least 11% unemployment rate, you know, some say this is the wrong thing to do right now. It's a bit heartless to do this to the underprivileged in Michigan. How do you respond to that?
I say there's never a good time, and what is heartless is to continue the horrible system that we've generated in our country. That is cruel and heartless.
One question to wrap things up. Can you tell me the amount of cuts that have been made to the DHS since you've taken control there?
The amount of cuts?
In terms of the percentage of cuts, in terms of the monetary amount that the department deals with in the programs that you handle.
Well, in the food stamp program, the college students, we've saved 75. I think it's 75 million in the college student program that we terminated. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, essentially, yeah, because I want to get a sense of, in terms of the cuts that have been made in the within the DHS department.
All right, but remember, our budget is $7 billion, and we have 2.5 million people. 25% of our state's population is receiving benefits from us. We administer 38 programs, and we want to help those who are truly needy. The question is serving the truly needy. That we need to do, we need to reserve our taxpayers' money for those who truly need it and not folks that are gaming the system, and they are out there.
Maura Corrigan, the director of the Department of Human Services, thank you very much for joining me.
Very, very good to talk to you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thanks.